welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, we're going. Hello, welcome to episode... Flipping heck, is this episode 400, Sean, of the Self-Help Podcast?
Bloody hell.
I think it
with
is, you know.
Champagne.
We're getting into this online course version of the book. So we're not really labeling episode numbers so much at the moment. But yeah, this is episode 400. How about that?
Wow. Well, I am amazed.
Are you one for recognizing dates just because they got a nice round number at the end, or are you just, you know, using all that?
I'm just stunned that 400 episodes down the line, we're still here doing this. Incredible.
Who'd have thought it, eh? Who'd have thought it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to do the maths, say how many years that is, but it's a decent number of years. So, yeah, well done. We're being consistent and persistent with this show, haven't we?
Yeah. Can't get rid of us that easy.
Yeah, we're on step three of the course or the book this week. So we're talking about gratitude. Yeah. We'll come on to that in a bit. All previous episodes and steps of this course are available through the website, liveinthepresent.co.uk. So have a look on there for all the links and the show notes. And yeah, like I say, we're dishing out the book for free at the moment, week by week. So
yeah,
no excuses, hey?
Very good, yeah.
Digital copy of it, at least. How you been, Sean? How's your week on planet Earth?
I'm okay. The COVID thing is a bit relentless at the moment. Lots of stuff going on. Good to see that the figures are dropping down, which is nice. The fatalities are dropping, which is good. But sadly today, acknowledging that Captain Tom has gone. And a lovely guy who gave a lovely example to everybody, that idea about us looking after each other, you know, like that so much. So sad that he's gone, but I'm glad that we all got to know him before he went.
I know. Well, there's a few lessons he taught us, isn't there? Apart from you're never too old and all that. But yeah, I mean, that lesson about never giving up and, you know, making sure that you enjoy life right up to the last moment.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in terms of the last year, because, as I know, you know, we're not all lucky enough maybe at his age to be as sprightly as he is, perhaps, but or not even to reach his age. Not too many people get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, he got out and about, didn't he? And made the most of it.
Well, it was estimated a while ago that one in five of young people in Britain now would live to 100. Wow. Now, whether that's still true with things like COVID, God alone knows, but that was the idea. That's quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
Centenarians would be a lot.
It is. I mean, yeah, fingers crossed. Well, fingers crossed we'll both get there, hey? Different.
Yeah.
But we'll still be doing the podcast, of course. I wonder who the oldest podcaster in the world is.
As long as it's not me, I'm not.
Might be you already, yeah. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to share my screen. Hang on. And we're going to get cracking. Do you want to give people a little snapshot of where we're up to so far before we tackle step three, Sean?
Yeah. We're working towards being able to get into the present. And getting into the present requires, for most of us, that we have to let go of the past, because the thing that holds most people back from being effective in their moments in life at the moment is being connected. It's like elastic that connects us to the past and holds us back. And very often that negativity is in the elastic. Yeah, I would say that there are some elastics that are full of love and happiness and everything that we can't let go of. Mm-hmm. That hold us back, but the majority of what's holding us back is hatred, the ideas of kind of retribution, negativity, not being able to let go, all that kind of stuff. And it's being able to work through that, be able to let it go, which allows us to get to this step here. And one of the things about people being mindful, people being positive, people creating positive lives, very often gets scuppered, all the wonderful theories, because we're anchored back in the past and we can't move forward whilst we're anchored in the past.
Yes. I mean, I had a bit of homework last week and I haven't acted on it yet. I was going to text my pal Bobby, who I demolished his snowman when we were kids.
Yeah.
And still feel bad about it. So I haven't texted him yet. But, well, yeah, listen back to it. You don't have to actually apologize in person to the people you've wronged or expect a letter from people that have wronged you, but you've just got to process it internally a lot of the time, right?
Yeah, and but the image to hold in your head is that we're connected to events and people by this emotional elastic. We call it karma, yeah? You can dissolve your karma by letting go of your end of the elastic. What people do with their end of the elastic is their stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can try and talk to people and do stuff, and it doesn't really work. If you read the chapters that are going out, when you get to this list of letters that you need to write to get it out of your system, head and heart, out onto the paper, let go of it. Yeah, you never send the letters. It's very rare you can send the letter. You just create more problems. Yeah. But this week, and in this step, in the gratitude step, which is where we're up to, you could send the letters. You know, you could ring people, you could thank people, you could actively show gratitude without creating a mess, because it's a nice thing for people to say thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, you might go, oh, don't be silly, didn't matter. Oh, no, no, no. But if it's important, it's important to share it. Mm-hmm. You know?
So, yeah, it's important to note as well, you know, it doesn't necessarily take a week for each of these steps. In reality, we're kind of rattling through these steps. It might take weeks or months to get through some of this stuff, especially the forgiveness bits. They can take a while to process, right?
Yeah, it's an easy thing to say and to do a session on it, but to actually really start to let go. And for many people, they can do a bit and they think, okay, that's great. And then months, year later, they think, no, I've still got stuff there, so they need to do a bit more. Might take a bit of time. But we get there.
Yeah. Cool. Yep. So that brings us on nicely to step three, which is about gratitude. So do you want to give us a quick intro on the basics of why gratitude is important and why it makes such an early appearance?
Well, the thing is that once you start to get into a habit of gratitude, you start to lift your mood. Now, one of the things for me is I play the gratitude game with myself, and I would do it. I think I might have said this before. I'm driving down the motorway to Birmingham, and it's a pretty boring kind of road, and your mind starts to wander off into negative monkey territory. So I will pull myself back into being positive by playing the rhyme. So it is, I'm so happy and grateful now. Now that lifts my mood. I'm so happy and grateful now. I'm fit, I'm healthy, I'm rich, I'm wealthy, I'm slim, I'm sexy. I'll start to play the game and I'll make myself laugh and I'll lift my mood. But it's about saying things that I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. So I will bring other people into my rhymes and start to develop it and play with it. And like I said, it makes me laugh usually, which is good fun, you know. So it's like it's focusing on the positive. So we have suggestions here, like, most people wake up in the morning and they're not thinking, wow, it's another day in paradise as they leap from the bed. It's like, oh, bloody hell, not again. So one of the things that we've provided on the site is the morning focus meditation. Get your head on the right way around. Just take 5 minutes to focus on your day and do that kind of focus visualization. Yeah. And it's that realization that we are creating our future. If we're living in that negative past and we keep rehearsing that negativity, that's what we see around us. Yeah, thoughts become things. The things we think about, we bring about. What you feed grows, what you starve dies. If you feed the negativity, guess what your life's going to be like? You got it. It's going to be negative. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you feed the positive, then life starts to feel more positive. And that means usually being grateful for the things that are around us. You know, we're all moaning about the pandemic and, you know, can't go to work, we can't mix with people. But most of us are so lucky, you know, we're housed, we're warm, we're fed. Yeah, there's people in the world that don't have any of that. And we need to have some gratitude for what we've got. It's easy to moan about our politicians and they can make you a bit frustrated sometimes. But at least we're not like what they are in Russia at the moment, where you can't actually say, I don't agree with you, because you get put in prison if you say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, or in Burma, Myanmar.
Yeah. Myanmar, yeah.
Where, they're going through their problems. You know, that it's going on. You know, we're lucky. We are very lucky people. We don't acknowledge how lucky we are.
You know? So when you're doing your meditation in the morning, how do you separate like meditation in terms of shutting the world off and just being still with visualizing your day ahead? Or
Well, the way I do my meditation is I do Vipassana, which means it's a body-focused, mind-clearing meditation. At the end of my meditation, there's something called metta. And metta is when you focus on, because you've just done your meditation, just done half an hour, whatever, and you're feeling really good and calm. And it's like sharing that energy with the world. So I will direct that energy towards people. It might be the universe in general, it might be particular people. But it's sharing that kind of gratitude and trying to get that positive feeling going all around us with everybody.
Okay.
I love it.
Go on, sorry.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
You just love it.
I love it.
Yeah, go on. The move is on. I should mention that these podcasts are available as videos. Sean and I are sharing some slides now that we created. So you didn't really. If you listen to the podcast, that's cool. We have got a YouTube channel and on our website where you can see what we're talking about as well. But yeah, we've got a slide up here about indiscrimination. So I haven't seen that one before, Sean. I don't remember it from way back when.
What it's saying is that we talk about the law of attraction. You know, that you can focus on things and attract them towards you. But hey, presto, that bit of our system that works like that doesn't discriminate between positive and negative. You know, it doesn't discriminate between what we do want and what we don't want. Just the more that we focus on, the more we get of that. Not because there's a magic trick and the universe is delivering parcels outside our front door. It's because it's the way that we see things. If I'm feeling negative and I'm looking down, I see the waste paper and the dog turds and all that kind of stuff. If I'm looking up and I'm positive, I see the sky and the sun. You know, it's like, where am I looking? What am I looking at? Yeah. And I'm actually using the filters in my mind to create what I experience. Yeah. If I'm negative and someone comes along and they're being positive, I think, give away. Because I don't want to join in their positivity. It doesn't ring with my negativity. You know?
I remember watching the documentary or like a kind of a bit of a reality TV show years ago about people that were trying to make their fortune trading on the stock market, like online at home. You know, so they were following traders and there were some successful ones and there were some not so successful ones. And I remember seeing a couple of them. They were really into this law of attraction stuff. And they were visualizing and kind of chanting stuff every morning to kind of visualize their rich and wealthy selves. But they kind of, not all of them made it. Well, not in the time frame that the show was on, at least anyway. So what do we say to people like that have been trying for years and years to not necessarily make a million on this stock market or any other way, but on business? Is it just they need to keep going or they're not doing it right? What do we say?
I think that the problem is when people start to see the law of attraction as a magical process, and it's not a magical process. It's something about we're focusing on and we're being clear about what we want. And the issue then is that if I'm stood next to the perfect opportunity for me to achieve what I want, but my head's turned the other way because I'm focusing on something else, I miss it. I miss the opportunity. So much about achieving what you want is about waking up. And when you wake up and you're tuned into things, that's when the law of attraction works for you, because you're thinking about something, you see the opportunity and you grab it. Whereas if you're looking the other way, you miss the opportunity, you don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So important. Yeah? So important. Just let go of the negative, be positive in the present, and then you can begin to create what you want.
Okay. And I mean, as this current slide's talking about negative past, are there things perhaps in people's pasts that they haven't quite dealt with that are still dragging them down, even subconsciously maybe?
Oh, yeah, completely. Completely. I mean, it can be down to there's someone's accent. Someone talks to you in a way with a certain accent, and it triggers off unresolved things in your past. And automatically, you don't like that person because of their accent. And it's nothing to do with that person. You're transferring all the rubbish from the past and putting it on that person in front of you. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And one of the things that we talk about, we'll look at in a couple of steps, is about our attitude to things like money. You know, are we positive about money or are we negative? Yeah, because that's how we see it, yeah? So the game that we'd be playing if we were doing the program now would be, okay, turn to the person next to you and tell them something good, yeah?
Yeah, this is a bit mentioned last week. The bit I like when I go to church, when, you know, the minister says, just turn to the person next to you and say good morning, or turn around and make sure you said hello to everyone. And then the kind of the atmosphere and the energy kind of just goes through the roof. It's good fun.
Yeah. But it's like, if you look at today, what's good about today? Now, for me, this may sound weird. It's sad that Tom died today, but him dying made me focus on what a lovely person he was. And the gratitude that I have to him, not just for the millions of pounds that he managed to raise for the NHS that's helped us all, but for the hope and the kind of possibilities that he gave to people.
Yeah.
And that idea that he has, law of attraction, expect tomorrow to be better than today. Mm. You know, look forward positively. Yeah. And he was living proof of the fact it worked, you know.
He was, yeah, and they did a bit of an obituary on the news, which I hadn't followed his story that closely, to be honest. I mean, I knew who he was, and it was amazing what he did. It showed him in the news today. And what I kind of liked about, he had an amazing life, but he also had quite a normal, I don't want to use the word mundane, life. I think it showed his only other public appearance prior to last year, was he was on Blankety Blank, like in the 70s. And it showed the footage of him back then. And he looked quite old then, even. Obviously he was, you know, he was 50-ish, you know. So, I like that idea that, I mean, he was in the army as well, and he's got, obviously, a decorated veteran. So he's done lots of amazing stuff, but not in a kind of, he wasn't a film star or a musician or a singer, you know, that'll be remembered forever for that stuff.
But he did have a number one hit.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, I should say. Very recently. Good on him, man. It's cool. But yeah, I like that idea that you can achieve glory just through just a normal kind of life.
Yeah.
You know? It went a bit crazy for him at the end, obviously, with the fame. But yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
So, go on. After you, carry on.
So next slide, bad words and deeds. Yeah. So that as you start to wake up to what you're doing and what you're feeling, what you're thinking, so that you can start to adjust it and change it so you can become a positive person. So that one of the things I say this to clients, ought, should, must and can't are banned words. Ought, should and must is about, you know, not necessarily doing what I want to do, something that I ought to do, yeah? And if I say can't, then I stop my potential, say, well, can't do that. Okay, then you're right. As soon as you say I can't do it, that's true, yeah? But it happens in your mind as well, so that your thoughts may be thoughts of lack and limitation and darkness, you know, like, oh, God, no, not again, but yeah, moan. And it's like, is your glass half full, half empty stuff, you know, how are we looking at it? And it's becoming aware of your thoughts and changing those, reframe them into positive things. And then looking at your attitudes, you know, are you a complainer, a moaner, or a gossip, or that kind of stuff? Are you trying to bring positive attitudes into the way you see things, the way you interact with other people? Yeah. And your feelings, are your feelings those of kind of positive sharing and wonderful things, or are they jealousy, envy, meanness? You know, someone drives past in a flash car and everybody says, you know, the people that have money only get it by stealing it from other people.
Yeah, you know, as a drug dealer, kind of
opposed to, hey, come on, you know, well, I wouldn't mind a car like that. Hey, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or in your case, I wouldn't mind a bike like that.
Yeah, don't talk to me about cars.
And actions. Are you like bullying, anger, emotional outbursts, name calling? You know, what are you doing? Are you calming things or making them more difficult? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that all these things are about waking up and becoming aware. But when we're living in the past, we can't do that. We need to let it go so we can actually be in the present and observe what we're doing, become aware of it.
Yeah. Yeah. There might be bullies on doing this course right now that don't realize they're bullies, or that, how do we get some kind of perspective on who we are? I mean,
well, one of the things that tends to happen on the course is people get feedback. You know, the people, you know, the way I experience you is on all the courses I do, that happens. Because unless we see ourselves the way that other people see us, we don't see ourselves at all. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of my jokes has always been, I play it on the course, that I'm 6'6", bronzed and muscular. That's the way I see me. And people look at me and they laugh and go, no, you're not. Yeah, but how often do we see people that see themselves differently to the way other people see them? You know, if you look at someone who has a body disorder, who sees themselves as grossly fat when they're actually quite slim, but they see themselves differently. Yeah. And that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and that comes from this slide in terms of we become what we pay attention to. Although that might not always be the case if you are quite a slender person and you see yourself in the mirror as being overweight. I don't know how that relates to this one, but.
Well, no, it doesn't. If I see myself as big, so, and I pay attention to that, and then I start dieting to get slim, now that might be that I go from being very fat to being normal, or it could be I go from very normal to being anorexic, yeah, which is why the feedback from other people is so important. But the principle is true. We become what we pay attention to. You know, if I pay attention to the idea that I am a nice, successful, happy person, that's what I radiate, and then other people reflect it back to me. Okay. Yeah, if I go around paying attention to the idea that I'm, you know, it's miserable, negative, that's what people reflect back to me. Mm. Yeah, the world becomes the way I want it to be, the way I see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say we're at the stage now. We're ready to change and to move on.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that we were doing with the courses, we ran the mind bank, which was when people could come together and share ideas. You know, we did that on a Saturday morning, didn't we?
Yeah.
But it's like that idea about if I want to change something, you know, I need something from other people. It may be that I need money from the bank. I might need resources, ideas. I might need different ways of looking at things, like people come to you because they want you to put a website together for them because they don't know how to get online to do what they want to do. So we need those things. And it's by kind of sharing and working and helping each other. If you look after each other, it'll all be okay. You know, that we can get these things moving and we can start to move from negative past into the present. Now let's create the future that we want. Mm. Yeah. But we've got to get our heads around it first. Yeah.
Yeah. That's huge. I mean, my business career in terms of web design has all been built on networking and getting to know people locally, mainly locally, that I could either help at some point or they could help me at some point. And we all have mind banks, as you call it, of one form or another, even if it's just our family and friends. But to find a group of people that are into the same stuff as you and have the same vision is it's massive, isn't it?
Yeah. And because of what I've done in different parts of the world, I'm in that odd position where in any one day I'm traveling around the world online, going through different time zones and working with different people in groups. And it's like one of the magic things about these machines that we're using is you can expand your mind bank to huge proportions. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Okay, so gratitude is the most powerful tool. And I can't say this kind of enough or in enough ways, but the more positive you can be about the things around you, the more positivity you create, not just inside you, but with other people. And I keep going on about it. If we look after each other, we're all okay. But then if we're grateful to other people for looking after us, yeah, then the more we can do for each other, the better the world becomes, the better our lives become, the more we can create the kind of world that maybe we'd like to live in. But the things that we focus on, we get more of it. So that if we can focus positively with gratitude, we get more of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you want? Do you want a miserable world? One of the things that bothers me a bit, I've been doing quite a lot of box set watching over this bit of lockdown, mm-hmm. And getting into, because when you get locked into a box set, you go from one episode to another.
Yeah.
Most of them are about, well, virtually all of them are about negative things, you know, death, dying, destruction, people doing bad things. There's very few box sets about, hey, whoopee, we're all having a good time here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that bothers me a bit. Are we all focusing on the negative? You know?
Yeah, I wonder about that as well. I mean, I'm as guilty as most people for devouring TV shows and movies. We've taken a bit of a break recently from detective series that are endlessly, you know, they just I'd OD'd a little bit on serial killers. because we were partway through, I think it's called The Serpent on BBC. On the iPlayer.
I haven't done that one yet. I've done.
Yeah,
done
the, you know, and it looks. It's really good. I've watched two of it, and it's well made, and it's a fascinating story. But it's just getting a little bit much, you know. And I don't think there's much chance of me turning into a serial killer. you never know, I guess. But we've switched. I'm actually watching something really trashy at the moment called. It's on the All Four, the Channel 4 player, called. Married at First Sight. Australian.
That's a weird program, though.
My wife had been watching it, and I'd been working next to her, and just before long, I was kind of engrossed in this thing. So we've just moved on to another series. It's crazy, but it generally it's got quite a lot of positive aspects to it, and fascinating kind of psychology. But it's reality TV, so. There is quite a bit of kind of arguing and shouting and negativity too, but I do wonder what all this kind of binging on serial killer stuff and war is doing to us.
Yeah, and that might be playing a part of that kind of COVID flatness. You know, we get intrigued in these stories, but they're not stories that leave you like whoopee. The only thing I would say is, it's a sin.
Haven't seen that one yet.
And there is the most amazing woman in that program. I mean, talk about emotional. She is the most caring, sharing, loving person. It's amazing. It's amazing. Right. And it's worth watching for that in terms of gratitude and seeing what she does for people. It's incredible. Mm. Incredible.
Okay. I've got two little boys, as regular listeners will know, and I'm desperately trying to enforce the habit into them to say thank you when someone does something nice for them, you know, even if it's just me bringing them another bag of crisps or an apple that they've asked for. Don't forget to say thank you. And I still have to remind them occasionally. They're getting much better. But that act of saying thank you is quite a powerful one, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really, really. When you say to a child, okay, what's the magic word? And they go, abracadabra. No, it's thank you. But okay, to being thankful, being grateful kind of raises your vibration, it raises your mood. And from that point of view, it's like count your blessings. You know, if when you go to bed at night, just close your eyes and just think about all the amazing things that have happened today, because there are amazing things. Even if there's been a lot of difficult stuff today, there have been amazing things in it.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it.
If you really study the fine detail.
Yeah. Yeah, very much.
My father-in-law is really good at this. It was his birthday recently, and we couldn't celebrate it at all, you know, in person, obviously. So my wife put out a shout to friends and family to send in just little video clips that I could put together in a little film for him, so everyone could say happy birthday and, you know, remember when that happened and all that. We watched it together live on Zoom, actually. So it was quite, and I could tell he was welling up a little bit, so. But he sent me a message, you know, both I think that night and the morning after, saying how grateful he was, and he's really good at making sure that, you know, he appreciates stuff, and it's I try and remember that because it helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, having an attitude of gratitude. So we got some quotes here. So this is Brother David. So gratefulness is the key to a happy life that we hold. And now you just turn it on, cut it in our hands, because if we're not grateful, then no matter how much we have, we will not be happy. And that's a really good thing. You know, it's like how many, you know, when you got a phone, are you grateful for the phone you got? Or are you looking for the new model? You know, oh my God, I've only got an iPhone 11 and we're on the iPhone 12. Yeah. You know what I mean? All that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it's like when you're not happy with what you've got, you always want more. You know, so you're never going to be happy. And that's one of the problems with consumerism generally, is it feeds on people's need to have more and more and more and more and more.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. It's all going to collapse soon. So, yeah, it's hanging there.
Yeah, don't worry. It's all going to collapse. That'll be fine.
Yeah, that's a good quote, that one. Go on.
So the idea of turning lead into gold, you know, turning the bad into good. If you start off, you know, you're feeling negative, like I say, you had a bad day, okay, go back through it and look at all the positive things that are in it, because there are goodness things in everything that happens. Even if something did feel like a bad situation, it's okay, what's that taught me? Mm-hmm. How can I turn this negative lead into positive gold? You know, thank you, universe, for giving me the opportunity, and now that I've broken my leg, to read all these books. Mm. You know, or can I be going, no, I broke my leg, and, you know, what do I do? Choices. Yeah?
You've got some stories, amazing stories, haven't you, of people that you've, you know, that have been on, well, at the end of their lives, and they've still managed to, even in that crazy situation, managed to find things to be grateful for.
Yeah. The amount of times people have said to me, oh, you know, thanks for that. I'll see you upstairs later, as they pop off and die, you know. So yeah. I'm assuming they'll be waiting for me when I get there. So this is a Buddha quote, yeah? And I love this. Let us rise up and be thankful. For if we didn't learn a lot today, at least we learned a little. But if we didn't learn a little, well, at least we didn't get sick. And if we got sick, well, at least we didn't die. So let's all be thankful, yeah? And that's so important. You know, we can moan about everything, or we can be really, really happy about it. Yeah,
you're allowed. It is okay to enjoy being alive, isn't it? You don't have to be a millionaire, or you don't have to be, like in the departure lounge at an airport, going on that round the world tour to have feel excitement and be excited about being alive.
But maybe that concept is that we are actually all millionaires already. You know, maybe we're already there. You know, sense, you know.
I don't know what the latest stats are, but you know, if most people listening to this podcast in the UK. Well, just the fact that you've got access to equipment to play a podcast on probably means that you're in the top 10%.
They reckon that people on benefits in this country are still in the top 10% of the richest people in the world. Wow. There are lots of people that aren't that rich. Okay. Yeah.
So not that there isn't a bit of work to do from our side in terms of raising the level of... decreasing the amount of poverty, relative poverty, but even in those situations, dare I say it, we can find things to be grateful for.
So we're all alive, hopefully. We're all well, or recovering from whatever we're recovering from, and maybe today we learn something, you know. And if today we learn something and we can be grateful for today, well, maybe we can be thankful for tomorrow as well. You know, and that's the point, is that every minute of every day is a joy and a wonder if we choose to see it that way.
Yeah, you know? easier said than done. This is a part in the course where people are asked to list five things that they're grateful for. Maybe we could invite listeners right now to just to pause the show and or maybe just pause it and have a think about it if you haven't got a pen and paper to hand.
Five things that you're grateful for. That might be five people, it might be characteristics, it might be events, you know, it could be all kinds of things.
Yes, and I guess the speed at which you're able to list things is a bit of a telltale sign as to, because I remember doing the course early on. I've done it a couple of times in person with you, so I remember it takes a bit of a habit, doesn't it, to kind of instantly reel off something that's happened to you today that you're grateful for.
But it's interesting, isn't it? Because if you say to somebody, okay, tell me something good about you, and people go, oh, my God, and it's because they don't see themselves in that way.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if you know yourself and you're aware of yourself and you have a gratitude for who you are, then you do see positive things, yeah? Mm. So Alfred Painter, quote, yes, saying thank you is more than good manners. It's good spirituality. You know, and it's think about that. You know, when you're in a cafe or a restaurant, when we get back in them, you know, someone brings you something. Do you think, oh, yeah, okay, it's your job. Or do you say thank you for that? You know, I mean, when people come to clear the table. I usually help to clear the table. I'm gathering stuff up to make it easier for them.
Yep.
You know, I'm grateful for the fact that they're there serving me. You know, what an amazing thing. You know, you go into a restaurant and people come to your table, they check out you're okay, and they bring you food. What lovely people.
Not bad, eh?
You know? Yeah.
Mm. No, man,
I'll be grateful.
Next time I'm in a restaurant and I'm going to be hugging and kissing the staff, the waiting staff, whether they're male or female. I can't wait to get back in a in a cafe or something and have a cheese and ham toastie or something like that for the neck.
Yeah. This is a good one. Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Mm. So there's nothing better than the encouragement of a good friend. Now, and maybe that's the mark of a good friend. You know, a good friend is someone who does encourage you and gives you spirit and helps you going. You know, and like some people that might be your friends are just kind of critical, negative, miserable people. Don't do that. Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, go on, have a go. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got an amazing group of pals, man. They're a proper bunch of idiots, but I love them to bits. And I guess... Yeah, I don't know. Are we always the most encouraging for when we're trying new things or kind of get off on a new venture? I think we kind of joke about it, but deep down we are, you know, but we've got quite a sarcastic tone of like humor in when we all meet up, when we're allowed to. So, but deep down we're all egging each other on and, you know, proud of how we're all doing.
We were watching that Breaking Bad movie series, you know.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Breaking Dad.
Breaking Dad or Breaking Bad?
No, Breaking Dad.
Oh, right. I haven't seen that one. Okay.
It's Bradley Walsh and his son, and they're driving around Europe, and his son's getting them to do the most crazy things. and it starts off with the idea of like, you know, he can't do them because he's old, but then he does them, and it's really funny, you know. It's funny, it's clever, you know, he's facing things. And they've obviously got a good relationship. I know they're on camera, but they're kind of working well with each other.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of gratitude between them. You can see it. It's great. It's good.
You got another one here from Meister Eckhart. Eckhart Tolle?
Yeah. No, it's different.
Different one. Different Eckhart. Yeah. Okay, go on,
but
sorry.
The thing is that if the only prayer you utter in your whole life is thank you, then that'll be enough.
Yeah.
That's enough just to be able to do it, yeah? And thanking, you know, namaste. People say namaste, and the namaste mudra is when you put your hands together over your heart like that. But the word namaste actually means most beautiful greeting.
Right.
Yeah, so namaste. So you say that when you meet people, namaste, yeah? Or when you get to know people, you know, like you say hi, people will put their hands together and go, stay. And they miss the nam route, just say stay.
Just stay, yeah. That's like a short and sweet version.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, hey, yeah, yeah. So who do you need to thank? Who do you need to thank in life? And if you do the same thing you did with the first two steps, where you go back to as far as you can remember, and think about all the people that have helped you in life, people that did things that made your life easier, made you laugh, you know, picked you up when you were down. You know, maybe there's a lot of people that you need to be grateful for. And maybe you might need to thank them for that. And this time you could send letters thanking people. You could even do calls or visits, you know. And there's something in this which is the key to so much of being alive, is that acknowledging your gratitude to another person not only makes you feel good, but it makes them feel good too. You know, and that's a win-win situation. It's that thing about we're back to again, if we all look after each other, we're all going to be okay.
When we start exhibiting this different kind of behavior to our friends and family, you don't have to send them a link to this podcast to let them know that you've changed, maybe, or that you've kind of, they'll pick up on the signals, won't they, I guess, and maybe that drip, 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 people will start to cotton on to what you're up to.
Yeah. But it's amazing, isn't it? If when you the people around you, do you criticize them or do you thank them?
Mm.
You know, do you encourage them? You know, there was a lovely experiment, which you'd never be allowed to do again today, which was done with two schools with two classes of matched children, same age, same ability group. And one group for a whole academic year, whatever they did, criticised. They were told, you know, it was wrong, it was bad, crazy, got awful marks. And the other group, whatever they did, were given positive feedback and top marks, and whatever they did was amazing, right? At the end of a year, like I say, you can never do this now. It'd be unethical. But at the end of the year, the kids that had all been criticised, their performance, their grades and their mood had gone right down. And the kids who were always praised, their mood and their marks and everything gone right up.